Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Pistons win, Grizzlies lose, 128-112. Well, let's just start with Cedric Howard. That was what we thought might be most interesting last night. What'd you think of Cedric Howard?
You know, I know that we can't choose to just not talk and not write until a sample accumulates, but like it's one preseason game and who cares?
Right.
I mean, he hasn't, it's the first basketball game of any kind he's played since last November, and it's one first preseason game. And so people are way overanalyzing that. You know, he missed shots, including a layup attempt, airballed one of the threes. I grabbed five rebounds and they weren't all just like the ball fell in his hands. I noted sort of how he was able to rise above the fray and really snag some boards. He had one really good defensive sequence, I remember, where he was guarding Cade Cunningham, switched on to Isaiah Stewart on the baseline, and then rotated over again and picked up a charge. And so, who knows? He's played one game. Who knows?
Right. Yeah, no. I mean, I asked Jeffrey in terms of to what extent do you totally dismiss the, and I basically all in terms of what
it is absolutely
there is no relationship. That's what we said. We came down 100% dismiss is what right. We came down. But now, in terms of do I absolutely dismiss the relationship between what I saw last night and what I might see in the first 10 games or five games? Not totally. Like there was right. Some rust last night and there might be, to me, it just, that is the only significance. It was a reminder that he hasn't played basketball and, but he could come back and you're exactly right. Go 5-7 tomorrow night.
And that would be meaningless too.
Right. Exactly. You know? Well, that would actually be, that would at least track what he did in college. So right. It might be more, yeah. More but whatever. So, you can't, we cannot not talk about the players when we have one game to
right.
KCP, well, you did that yesterday. One of the questions was, and you suggested that when we didn't know that by the end of the show, we would know that Ja was going to be out last night. That when right. We talked yesterday, we didn't know Ja was going to be injured. And, so one of the questions was, well, when Jack can't play every game, who's going to start at point guard? And at least last night it was Ty Jerome.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to look at, I mean, setting aside like the outcomes of stuff, which doesn't mean a whole lot, to what degree is that an indicator of sort of Isla's inclinations in terms of lineup, in terms of pecking order, in terms of the way he will run a rotation? 12 players played in the first quarter, and you could say, well, that's preseason basketball, and that might be the case. It also might be just what he does.
Right.
So we'll find out. I do think there's meaning in Jerome starting with Morant out. I think that's probably an indicator of what they would lean into in the regular season. I think the starting lineup they threw out there is the starting lineup they would throw out there on the opening night if those were the players available to them. I don't think it's a, we're going to experiment with different stuff. I think, and Taylor Jenkins was like this too. The lineup in game one was a pretty good indicator of the default setting. This is the default setting. And then he may switch it up in other preseason games. We'll see if Isla does that or not. But with Taylor Jenkins, typically, the game one preseason lineup was the default setting he was starting with for the team. I think that was the case last night. Now, obviously, three starters were out. But the idea of who would you we've been wondering, like, what would they do, like, you know, in the front court, you know, if it was Santi and Landale. Now, we don't know what they would do if Jaren were available. I suspect it would be Jaren and Landale, but we don't know that.
Yeah, it feels like.
And KCP and Wells on the wing.
So they had KCP and Wells on the wings, which if everyone healthy, they would have. They had Jerome instead of Ja. They had Landale instead of Edie. And presumably they had, yeah, Santi instead of Jaren. Like, that was. And I thought both, again, it's one game, who cares? But KCP and Ty Jerome both look good. You know, they look at what they did.
No, yeah, they did. I thought KCP in particular, I was obviously made shots and so whatever. But I thought he looked great and looked very much like the player you want to see. I mean, obviously Ty Jerome made shots too. He seemed to be sort of in control of stuff. And, you know, they got off to even though they lost the game and lost badly in the second quarter. I mean, the first quarter looked great, and they were good with that starting five when they played. To me, and I read a little bit about this in a column that'll probably go up later today. I mean, I'm concerned about the front court stuff, and if you throw 34 minutes of Jaren Jackson Jr. into the mix, it gets a lot better in a hurry. But I'm concerned about the depth of the front court. I'm concerned about the quality of what they have to work with right now with, you know, their starting front court and three of their top four guys out. And they need Jaren back, and they need over the course of 82 games to have Jaren and Edie for an awful lot of them, I think.
Yeah, and Jaren back won't necessarily fix the rebounding. That was something last night that you look at and you're like, They're just getting dominated on the
It'll fix the rim protection.
On the boards. It'll fix the rim protection, but it won't fix the rebounding. And so that's something you look at last night and think, well, that could continue to be a problem every night. As you pointed out, Santi's not a four, you know?
Right.
So in terms of that, they knew Edie was hurt, you know, like when they – went into this. When was the Edie thing discovered? When was that?
It was early June. So it was prior to free agency.
Yeah, it was prior to free agency.
That's one of the reasons they did the Huff Landale swap, because they thought Landale was a better fit. So they reacted to that in switching out Huff for Landale. But in terms of with their two ways with PJ Hall and Omax Prosper. But I do think the roster balance is a big short. I think it's a little imbalanced. It's a little small, 1 through 15. But we'll see.
And the choice there, I mean,
they didn't know about the Brandon Clark thing.
Right,
back
that's
then.
True. You always harken back to the Cam Spencer decision.
Yeah, I hate to harp on that.
Right,
but,
because you're nothing against Cam Spencer. But like, what were there obvious options here or things they might have done to fortify this?
Well, yeah, I mean, Jack Landale wasn't the only guy you could have signed for a minimum contract. You know, I mean, just to throw a name that I don't say this because of the Memphis connection, but people, you know, Precious Achiuwa signed a minimum contract late.
Yeah.
And like, that's a guy who would have been a pretty decent, like, Brandon Clark fill-in in terms of the Brandon Clark skill set. There were other guys like that, too. I think they liked the long-term bet of the multi-year cheap deal for Cam Spencer rather than the short-term fill-in of like the veterans minimum, like veteran journeyman type. But we'll see about that.
It's funny, like what if I had been told that Ja was sitting out last night because they weren't going to play him and he was just going to sit out, in terms of the way that he was moving around, I would have known no difference. In other words, that doesn't look like a sprained ankle.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between walking around and playing NBA clearly. Basketball, you know.
Yes.
And so. I don't get the impression it is a particularly serious. If it were like a really bad ankle injury, he probably would be boot or crutches.
Boot
he wouldn't
crutches
be walking around like that,
yeah.
Right? So I do think that's an indication that this isn't. They didn't put a grade on it, but this is not a super serious ankle sprain. They did call it week to week, not day to day.
Yeah,
but it's also preseason. John Morant got an ankle injury in game one of preseason last year, and then like I think missed the rest of preseason. And I know he missed a lot of games in season, but none of them were related to the ankle thing in preseason.
I was trying to think of his history of ankles because he has. Last year was shoulder, right? That's what got him in the end. Isn't that what did in the end?
Well, it was hip and shoulder.
Hip and shoulder.
He had two separate hip injuries that were. He missed 33 games over 15 different absences.
Right.
But the three big ones were he took a hard pick to the shoulder he'd had surgery on, and then basically that shoulder soreness bothered him the rest of the year.
Right.
But he also, early in the season against the Lakers, he got undercut on a dunk attempt and landed on his hip, and I'm shocked at how little time he missed, frankly. That was seemed like a pretty bad injury. Then the same thing happened to him in the playoffs. And so two hips and a shoulder, and then there's some other little stuff sprinkled in there too.
Wasn't there a previous year where ankle was a...
Either his first or second year, he had an ankle sprain where he missed maybe 2 or 3 weeks. But I don't think he's ever had a particularly bad ankle. Not like Vince Williams last year or whatever, or like Zach Edey. Or Cam Spencer last year. He has never had, I don't think he's ever missed more than a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks tops with an ankle thing.
Any other, it's like Vince Williams, he seemed to be moving okay. Like they said he was only 90%. Who knows?
It's a preseason game where guys are just shuttling in and out of the lineup so fast and everyone's playing like 18 minutes and it's hard to glean too much. I thought Vince looked okay.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to go too far down the road on.
You want to go way down the road on what you saw from Landale?
Landale didn't look great to me. He hit a couple threes. Didn't. He struggled to finish stuff around the rim, and I know it's one game, but like I wrote about this today too. I mean, he has been a pretty weak finisher, like over his 4-year career. Like his at the rim finishing is like below 50 percentile basically for a guy of his size. His offensive rebounding has been good to the degree that he's played. His defensive rebounding has not. I'm pretty circumspect on the Landale thing. I can see why they think it will fit. And I know there are some stats out there that show, oh, this guy's been good, but I'm very hesitant about the all-in-one metric stuff. I prefer stats now that are situationally specific. Like, what's his offensive rebound rate been? What's his this been? Not the, you put all things into the thing and the magic formula spits out that he's a net, blah, blah, blah. I'm just not, I'm not a real believer in that. And to me, the idea that like, oh, the Grizzlies found something that other people didn't see. He was playing for the Houston Rockets, over a really small front office, really smart front office. And so I don't believe that he's going to be some like revelation. I think it's a narrower bet that his specific skill set in this specific role can give them good minutes, and we'll see about that.
Where's the rebounding going to come from while Edie's gone?
Jitty lives. that's the way I ended with the thing I wrote, because I think it's a problem, because when you take Zach Edey out, none of your other front court guys are good rebounders relative to their position. That's not only true of Jaren, it's true of Santi, and it's even true of Brandon Clark on the defensive end. And then you're just sort of small across the board. And Islo said something in training camp about this, is that when you start shifting, like you're shifting everywhere except for point guards. So you look up and you have a lineup that's like small at four positions, right? And that really creates a rebounding problem. And I think it's exacerbated by you don't have a lot of good positional rebounders. The best positional rebounders on the team, like rebounding relative to what you should expect from them, other than Zach Edey, who's a monster rebounder, are two guys who aren't even projected in a 10-man rotation, and that is Conchar and that's Vince Williams. Those are the best positional rebounders on the team. And in fact, last season, Zach Edey had the best defensive rebound rate on the Grizzlies roster. This is just raw like rebounds per minute or whatever. John Conchar was second. He had a better defensive rebound rate than Jaren, than Brandon Clark, than Santi Aldama, than Marvin Bagley, than all these dudes. And I wonder if like the need for rebounding might not get Conchar on the floor more than people think. And no one's been talking about him.
Well, and we also mentioned Coward, and you thought he...
We don't have numbers on Coward to go on because he wasn't in the NBA last season. He has been noted. When Islo asked about what wings might size up, the first guy he mentioned was Coward. And that, who knows? That's something to watch. Is he going to be a guy who's going to rebound above his station because of his strength and because of his springiness? That's a possibility. That would help him a lot.
Thoughts on Gigi?
There wasn't a lot of
there. Nothing to see. But also, I wonder... Just going to get lost in the wash here.
When you take these three bigs off the board and you're starting Aldama and Landale, now you're like, okay, who's playing behind them, right?
Right.
The next biggest player on the 15-man main roster is Gigi Jackson, who's 6'9". And instead, the first guys off the bench to back those guys up were not Gigi Jackson. It was the two-way guys, PJ Hall and Omax Prosper. And so when you need – and Prosper's shorter than Gigi. He may be a little heavier, but they're similar physical types. They're just they're opposite players. Like if you could take Gigi Jackson, Omax Prosper, and blend them into one guy, that guy'd be pretty good. But right now, they're both half players.
Prosper is a defensive.
That's his reputation. Again, he hasn't played a whole lot. He's played more than PJ Hall. He's played more than some other guys in two seasons, but not a lot. But his reputation is just a switchable, active defender, and I think he looked the part last night. He also had 5 turnovers and shot 0-for-6, and that's
part of the package.
Been the track record. Yeah.
It's interesting, and we'll talk more about this as we get closer to the start of the season. It strikes me that the possible variance in this Grizzlies season is immense. And yep. you've talked about it as a, there may even be some pivot in the midst of it. Like it's, you know, like what, or some decision potentially yeah. that has to be. Like I can absolutely imagine them, I don't know that I imagine them just because of the injuries being in the top six, but maybe I can certainly imagine them being in the top six. And then you could imagine the other course, which is, they're going to be in the lottery. They may have another lottery pick, and that's not so bad either. Like, there are two paths, neither which, unless you're folding in the need for this to be a good year for reasons of the lease or something else. But there are two very different paths here in a way that I don't know that's true for most NBA teams this year.
Yeah, I think that's true. And there are other teams that, like, can get a high pick without being bad themselves. Atlanta has the New Orleans pick.
Right.
But the Atlanta is also not quite set up in the same way. I mean, there's thought maybe you would trade Trae Young or whatever, but, you know, Kristaps Porzingis is old, and, like, it's not quite as set up to pursue the rebuild. The Grizzlies don't – there's no indication the Grizzlies want to pursue the rebuild. I'm just like, you know, looking at the game board and pointing out some obvious things on it, but it's, right. there's no indication that is something they want to happen.
No, they want to be good.
Right.
Right? They want to be good, And I think, I mean, we've said it a million times now, that if it weren't for the injuries, you'd feel a lot better about them.
Oh, if the Zach Edey thing in particular, it really changes my, not my outlook on what the team could be, but any kind of prediction I might make, it's heavily influenced by the idea that, like, you know, he'll be out a month and then you're not dead certain about what you're going to get when he steps back out there.
All right, Celtics next Wednesday.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma's designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.